Blog Talk Radio.
Are now into facing your fears with evangelist Norma Chapman and Pastor Doris Smith. The host of Facing Your Fears on Blog Talk Radio is evangelist Norma Chapman. Many guests that have been an inspiration as well as a blessing to many of her listeners. She is of Woodford and currently writing three other books. She studied and attended Union Baptist Theological College of New Orleans. She's also an associate minister at Greater Liberty Baptist Church under the leadership of Dr. Calvin W. Woods, Jr. Sits on the LACP Executive Committee and formerly a member of SCLC Justice for Girls. Pastor Doris Smith, co-host. Pastor Smith retired after 29 years of service in the government from the position of procurement contracting supervisor. She's a pastor, a teacher, an author, a certified professional speaker, a life and inspirational coach, and the host of the Power Hour, Light of Inspiration and Motivation. A caregiver, a beautiful wife, a wonderful mother, a grandmother, and just an all-around people person. And now it's time for Facing Your Fears with evangelist Norma with her co-host, Pastor Doris Smith.
Good evening to all our listeners that's tuned in on today. We are so excited to have you tuned in on Facing Your Fears radio talk show hosted by yours truly, evangelist Norma Chapman, with our awesome co-host, Pastor Doris Smith, out of Miami, Florida. As always, let us bow our head and have our opening prayer. Father God, we thank you for another opportunity to go, Father God, before your children, Father God, here in radio land. Father God, we pray that, Father God, you come into this radio, the studio, Father God, and just have your way on today, Father God. We ask that you touch our special guest on today, Father God, and pour fresh anointing upon his life as he goes forward, Father God. And we pray that, Father God, everything that we do and say would be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. And when it's all over, Father God, that you may get the glory out of all that we do and say. This prayer I lift up in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. All right, listeners, you are tuned in to Facing Your Fears radio talk show. Remember, listeners, if you have any questions, comments, or just want to share your thoughts about today's topic, just press that number one on your phone. At that time, I will bring you into the studio with us for you to give encouragement to our speak on today or any questions you may have. Just press that number one, and we will gladly bring you at that time into the studio. All right, listeners, today we are so excited to have as our special guest, Reverend Richard B. Borton. And he is an anointed man of God. I'm so excited to have him on the show on today. Our topic for the day will be the stewardship of God's time, improving our life through redeeming the time. And I'll be bringing our guest into the studio with me in a little while, but I just want to let you know that I'm so very happy to see all of the callers that have called in on today, and we are so excited about the show on today. I'm going to give you a little emphasis on the show for today. We will be discussing an amazing topic on today, the stewardship of God's time, and we will be how we look at time from an earthly perspective and how God intends for us to use the time he has given to us. We will touch on the meaning of stewardship, our accountability to God and one another, the responsibility of our stewardship of time, realizing that God is the giver, the orchestrator, and the master of time. We will be discussing the era of stewardship through our lifetime and the importance of a daily commitment to that principle. Also, we will look at how we handle our talents and our gifts as God that God has given us. How too often we take for granted and misuse that talent or not use to help and uplift our fellow human beings, but most importantly, to the glory of God. Stay tuned, listeners, as we continue this awesome topic on today. Yes, we'll be talking about stewardship, time, lifestyle, accountability, perspective, and redeeming. And at this time, with no further ado, I want to bring into the studio with us our guest for today. Good afternoon, Reverend Borton. How are you on today?
Good afternoon, everyone. Sister Chapman, I just want to thank you, the host of this show, for having me this evening. I'm humbled, and I just thank God for this opportunity to be used by him to speak to his people on a topic I feel that is very important that we should all know about. Just a little bit about myself. I've lived here in New Orleans for about 8 years. I'm married to my wonderful wife, Mrs. Lorraine Burton. I'm a retired service member of 28 years, and I presently work for the federal government with the United States Coast Guard as a accountable property officer. My wife and I, we are members of the Greater Liberty Baptist Church, pastored by the Reverend Dr. Calvin Woods, Jr., where I assist in ministries, in the various ministries, such as the couples ministry, where my wife and I, we are co-chairs, and I also work with the drug and alcohol ministry at the church as well, and being helpful to my pastor and anything else that he may need me to do. We have 6 children. We have about 18 grandchildren, and we love them all. We have 2 of our children that are grown are in the military still, and the other ones, they have various jobs, civilian jobs. And that's all I have about myself at this time. But once again, thank you for having me.
God bless you. We're excited to have you on today's show. There you have it, listeners. Again, our topic for today will be the stewardship of God's time. And now, without further ado, I am going to let Reverend Borton go into his topic for today and let God have his way. Reverend Borton, now I will turn the studio over to you. You may begin speaking on your topic for today.
Amen. Good evening, everyone. As you've heard already, my topic this evening will be the stewardship of God's time, improving our life through the redeeming the time. There are many inequities in the world, but one thing we all have in common is the same amount of time each day. God has allotted 24 hours to each of us. Perhaps because we are products of a fast-paced society, we tend to think and act as though God has shortchanged us when it comes to time. Most of us have, at one time or another, heard or made these comments about time, and they are as follows. There never seems to be enough time or enough hours in the day, or it seems like time's always getting away from me. And the most popular one is, I'll try and find more time. For many of us throughout the day, when we find ourselves amid our comings and goings, we often feel pressed or pushed for time. So we resign ourselves to the mindset that there's just aren't enough hours in the day to meet the needs and demands of today's fast-paced life. We fill our conversations with phrases that convey the rush of our modern times. We extensively use words like urgent, priority, or pressing. For some of us listening, there was a time when we viewed telegrams as an adequate purpose for sending vital information. But today, not only do we have the smartphone, fax, email, and the internet, but we have priority mail and UPS and next day mail, so we can even send important documents or packages the very next day thousands of miles away. But yet we still find ourselves trying to find more time. What we're going to cover today is the various aspects of stewardship and what we can do to make better use of the time we have here on earth, combined with a biblical view of the standpoint of who we are as Christians and how we should live our lives with a redemptive mindset. In our performance-oriented society, we are driven by the notion that activity that produces some kind of result is placed at a premium, and time is viewed as from a utilitarian standpoint. Simply put, unless we can see some kind of obvious yield, the time spent is viewed as wasted time. Whatever we do, we must be accomplished. It must accomplish something tangible, and this includes even our time spent in worship, whether alone or gathered with the body of Christ. The problem we face in our society today is not the amount of time our sovereign God has allotted to us, but our view of time and life itself, and how we use that time we have. Now, with that being said, God is not limited by time as we are. He is the sovereign of time. With him, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years, one day. He sees the past, present, and future as one. You see, without God, without a God who possesses an eternal nature, we would be condemned to fear and despair. The Bible says, the eternal God is our refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And this can be found in Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 27. Romans 1 and 20 speaks of his eternal power and Godhead. Romans 9 and 5 calls him the eternally blessed God. Ephesians 3 and 11 speaks of his eternal purpose. And 1 Timothy 1 and 17 calls him the King, eternal, immortal, and invisible. Genesis 21 and 33 says he is the everlasting God. And Psalms 105 says, the Lord is God good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. So you see, even with that right there, those are good scriptures to give us the example of God's eternity, and how he is without time, and how he is before time, and in the midst of time, and he can see the future time. As opposed to us being, unlike God, we are the temporal and the finite humans that we are confined to 24 hours a day and to a certain number of days in the life which God allots us. We're confined to that. And with that, we must be good stewards. Stewardship is one of the predominant themes of the Bible. And yet it is often overlooked or minimized in discussion with the Christian life. The scriptures say a great deal about stewardship because it affects virtually every aspect of our earthly existence, to the extent that if we put these biblical principles into practice, we would enjoy the freedom and fulfillment that comes only from being Christ's servants and doing what he wants us to do. John 12 and 26 tells us that if anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, my Father will honor. Colossians 3 and 24 says, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. So again, we see that serving the Lord with our time, making wise use of our time, and allowing him to direct our footsteps and order our life, and willingly turning ourselves over to him, there's a reward, not only in this life, but in the life to come. All right, we're going to move on to the meaning of stewardship. The New Testament word for stewardship is oikonomia, which from from which we derive the word economy. This word management, it means management of a household. And it refers to the responsibility that is entrusted to a manager. So you see, we're managers of God's time. He entrusts us to do this properly. A steward acts as an administrator of the affairs and possessions of another. So God has given us this life. He has placed us here to be administrators of his possessions. Nothing that we have, nothing that we will gain belongs to us, and we have to understand this. And so, therefore, we are managers, administrators of all that God gives us because it belongs to him. Even though he gives it to us, or we go out and buy with the money, but everything that we have belongs to God. And so we are administrators. He is fully accountable, you know, the manager is fully accountable to the master, and they act justly as Joseph did, who became Potiphar's steward. And you'll find this in Genesis 39, verses 4 and 6. Or unjustly, as in Christ's parable of the steward who squandered his master's possession. As Christians, we have been entrusted with the stewardship. The things we call our own are not really ours, but God's. We have no possessions, and we do not own even ourselves. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own, for you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are in God. The next area we're going to look at is stewardship of time. Each of us has been given enough time to accomplish God's purpose for us on this planet. The scriptures exhort us to invest our time wisely, reminding us that God determines the length of our stay on earth. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time because the days are evil. Now, what does that mean right there, the days are evil? All of us living today know we are in the midst, we are living in the midst of some very difficult and trying times, economically, socially, educationally, everything that is going on in the world today. We see it on the TV. And so with that being said, God is trying to tell us, he is trying to show us that these days are full of trial and tribulation. And we need to redeem that time wisely as we are here on this earth. We need to redeem that time wisely and make wise use of it to not for ourselves, not to get what we can get, but to bring the light of God into this world and to show those who do not know him, to teach them and give them hope. And that's what that means. That the days are evil and we need to make better time, better use of that time. Towards the end of his life, Moses prayed, so teach us to number our days that we may present to thee a heart of wisdom. Again, teach us to number our days. Now, does that mean that we count our days, 1, 2, 3, 4? No. Most of us, you know, when we are allowed to have another birthday on a yearly basis, if we're wise, we thank God for that birthday that we're allowed to see. But again, each day that we are given, each year that we have the opportunity to experience another birthday, hopefully we have taken those other 364 days to use them wisely, to get ourselves ready for that day when God comes back for his people. Time is our most valuable asset, but without a proper perspective, we will spend it foolishly. A biblical perspective on time involves several things. One, life is brief, and we just can't waste that time. So life is very brief. James chapter 4, verse 14 says, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time, and then it vanishes. So what is that scripture saying? That our time is short here, people. You know, and we don't know, we cannot see what tomorrow brings. We can't see what the next minute brings. And just like we are born, we are one day, that day is going to come when we must leave this earth. But we don't know when that is. So we need to be cognizant. We need to be aware that life is brief. And we cannot be presumptuous about the future. We can't presume that we're going to be here tomorrow, that we're going to be here next month, that we're going to see our next birthday. So we need to be mindful of that and be thankful for each day that we have. Number two is the eternal gives meaning to the temporal. And that says, and do this knowing that the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than first believed. And what that is saying is that with the things that are going on for Christian and non-Christian alike, but for Christians, we can see that the time is moving and things are happening, and everything that is happening is written in the Bible already. And so time is drawing near. Time is drawing short. So we should be mindful of these things. The third aspect is, like our assets, our time is owned by God. So all the things that we have, you know, our house, our car, you know, bank accounts, clothes, all these things that we have, they're owned by God. Psalms 31:15 says, my times are in your hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and from those who persecute me. And in short, again, our time is in the hand of God. He has numbered each and every one of our days. So with that being said, again, we need to be mindful. We need to be studying the Word of God. We need to be listening to the Word of God. When we go to our houses of worship, to our churches, we need to listen to the man of God, study the Word of God, and walk in his Word and in his precepts so that we can be aware of these things going on and carry our swords accordingly. The fourth thing I want to talk about here is we must be sensitive to the opportunities so that we can make the most of them and the time. Ecclesiastes 8:5 says, he who keeps his command will experience nothing harmful. And as a wise man's heart discerns both time and judgment. So as he who keeps his command, who is that? That is us. If we keep God's command, we will experience nothing harmful. God will keep us. God will protect us. God will bring us through trials and tribulations. And a wise man's heart discerns both time and judgment. So if our heart is wise, if our mind is wise, we will be able through the Holy Spirit, through God's Holy Spirit, to discern not only time, but judgment. Our judgment? No, God's judgment. And the things that are going on in this world today. Next, our use of time will reflect our priorities. Matthew 6:19, do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. Basically, what that's saying is all of these things that we have, when that day comes that we leave this earth, it's going to stay here. And we're going on home to glory. And this means nothing. So our minds and our hearts should be set on being with the Father on that day. Sure, we can enjoy these things that we have, God wants us to enjoy them, but he wants us to enjoy them in perspective. Amen? Most time is wasted not in hours, but in minutes. If we do not regularly assess the way we spend our time, our lives and schedules will get cluttered with activities that may be good, but not the best. How much quality time do we spend with the Lord, with our spouse, with our children, and with our non-Christian friends? God wants us to be faithful stewards, not squanderers of his time that he has given us. Another area I'd like to talk about, the responsibility of stewardship. God is our master, and we are responsible to manage his affairs and possessions. Because we are his servants, all that we have is his. This explodes the popular misconception that we give God his percentage and the rest is ours. According to Scripture, we are accountable to God for everything. Whether we have much or little, our key responsibility as his stewards remains the same. Faithfulness. Let man regard us in this manner as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. In this case, moreover, it is required of stewards that one be found trustworthy. Next, the scope of stewardship. Now, a lot of times when the topic of stewardship comes up, most people think only of one area, money. But from a biblical point of view, stewardship is all-inclusive. It touches every area of life, including our time and talent, as well as our treasures. Stewardship is faithfully using whatever God gives us, our opportunities, interests, skills, employment, family, talents, spiritual gifts, land, money, etc., for his glory. The theme of stewardship ranges from Genesis 1 and 2, when God made the man and the woman stewards of this planet, to Revelations 21 and 22, when God will make his children stewards of the new creation. Now let's look at the lifestyle of stewardship. If biblical stewardship involves every facet of life, it requires a basic commitment on our part. There has to be a commitment from us. We must present ourselves to God as his servants. In other words, we willingly, when God wakes up to us up in the morning, we willingly get up and go to our jobs. So why can't we be willing to give ourselves or make a commitment to God? I'm sure we would all agree that the benefits, the payment is a lot greater. Sure, we need the payments and such that we get from our secular jobs, but we have to keep earthly things, earthly realm things in their perspective. And remember that God is the giver of all things, of all things. The real issue of stewardship is whether we are administrating our affairs and possessions as though they were ours or as though they are God's. You see, are we treating everything that we have as that, I went to work, I made this money, I bought this nice car, I bought this nice house, it's mine, and that settles it. And that is the totally wrong mindset to have. But there's so many people out here in this world that believe that, everything that they have is theirs, and they got it, on their own self-will, on their own power, and that God did not allow them to get this, that God did not give them the health and strength to get this. There's so many people, too many people, unfortunately, in this world that believe that, and they discount God in their lives. They give him no credit for anything that they have. The pattern of our lives is shaped by the decisions we make. And the greatest of these decisions is this. Am I the Lord of my life, or is God the Lord of my life? We will either seek to rule our own lives, which was the tragedy of the first Adam, or submit to the rule of God, which is the triumph of the second Adam. This is the difference between the great I will and the great thy will. And see, what that means is the great I will is where we think we will. And the great thy will is that we are submitting to God's will. You think that everything that we do is of our own strength. And so it's the great I will. Isaiah 14, verse 13 and 14 says, "For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven, and I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest side of the north. I will ascend above the highest heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." And that scripture is talking about Satan, where he's going to exalt himself above God. And too many people in this world today, either they discount God or they are so caught up in worldly things and sin, is that they even believe that they can exalt themselves above the rule of God and his judgment. But Matthew 6 and 10 says, "Your kingdom come," which is the great thy will be done. Matthew 6 and 10 says, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And see, believers, that is the way that we live our lives on a daily basis. Not our will, but thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let thy will be done in my life, in your life, and not my will be done in my life, because I'm sure some of us can attest to the fact that when we tried to take the reins and when we tried to steer the vehicle of our life, sometimes we ran into a brick wall. And we ran into difficulties and problems until we finally figured out that we weren't doing so well with running our own lives. So we turned it over to God. We let him do what he does best.
Amen.
Whether we realize it or not, we face this decision many times in the course of each day. Our answer to this question will determine how we manage the time, abilities, and money God has placed under our care. All of us have legitimate physical and psychological needs, and God wants us to trust him to meet those needs. On the other hand, Satan would deceive us into depending on our own abilities and resources to meet our needs, while God tells us to depend upon him. While selfless living is the essence of righteousness, selfishness is the essence of sin.
Amen. All right, listeners, you are still tuned in to Facing the Fears Radio Talk, hosted by yours truly, Evangelist Norma Chapman, with our awesome co-host, Pastor Doris Smith, out of Miami, Florida. We want to invite you today to just press that number one. If you have any questions, comments, if you want to share your thoughts on today's topic. Today, listeners, we are discussing the stewardship of God's time, improving our life through redeeming the time. And we're talking about stewardship today, time, lifestyle, accountability, perspective, and redeeming. We're going to bring our guest back into the studio shortly to conclude his topic for today. But right now, we want to take and yield to our co-host as she comes into the studio with us this afternoon to greet our listeners. God bless your co-host.
Good evening. God bless you all. Praise God. God bless you, Evangelist Norma Chapman. Praise the Lord, the amazing, awesome host of Facing Your Fears radio talk show. God bless you, Reverend Burton. I tell you, and all of our amazing, awesome listeners from around the world. God bless you all today. What an amazing, awesome, and much-needed topic to pour into the world today as it speaks about stewardship, being good stewards over the things that don't belong to you, but the things that God has blessed us with. And he wants us to have the best, and he wants us to have the abundance. He just don't want those things to have you to the point you lose yourself. Have the things, but don't let the things have you. Realize that time is a very valuable and vital commodity. We don't have control of time. God is time. He, just like Reverend Burton so beautifully have expanded on this topic and shared about the management of time. This has just been a beautiful, I'm listening in, and it's truly a blessing. We must value this here prize commodity called time, because we don't know the day or the hour that he's going to come, and we have to be ready. As he say, when I come back, I'm looking for a church. I'm not looking for a brick and mortar building. I'm looking for you. But I'm looking for you cleaned up, without spot, without wrinkles. So let's use this time wisely, and don't waste the time being bitter instead of better, being in anger instead of love, being in envy and jealousy and all of those things that just literally cause you to waste time. I am really, really enjoying this. This is a great, great, great topic, and it's much needed. We did not bring anything in this world, and so many times we get so caught up, spend so much time, my. No. It belongs to the Lord. And we ought to spend every second, every moment that he gives us to live and breathe, because the breath we breathe don't even belong to us. If you think it belongs to you, then lay your head back, blow as hard as you can, tell me what color it is, tell me which way it went. You'll never do it, because it doesn't belong to you. So that in itself should humble us and help us to more realize how important it is to be great stewards of the things that God has entrusted us with. God bless you. God bless you, Reverend Burton. God bless you, man of God, your family, your wife, your ministry, and you, Evangelist Chapman. I yield back.
God bless you. God bless you. All right, listeners, we do still have time in the show today for you to just press that number one if you have any comments, questions, or just want to share your thoughts. Or you might just want to press that number one to give some encouraging words to our guests on today. You feel free to just press that number one, and at that time, I will bring you into the studio. At this time, I'm going to yield back to our guest as he continues on his topic for today. The stewardship of God's time, improving our life through redeeming the time. I'm sitting here and I'm overwhelmed, and I'm truly enjoying the lesson on today. And listeners, I pray that you too are being fed with wisdom on how to be a good steward and how to work in God's vineyard and do the things that's pleasing and acceptable to God. Our perspective, early perspective here, down here, because we're going to have to give accountability to everything that we do. But the most important thing is being accountable to God for our actions down here as we walk this Christian journey. I'll yield back to our guest on today, Reverend Barton. You may continue at this time, and listeners, feel free to press that number one. God bless you, Reverend Barton.
Thank you, Evangelist Chapman. Continuing The difference here between grabbers who live for themselves and givers who live for God and others is the difference between saving our lives for our own sake and losing our lives for Christ's sake. You see, we live in a selfish world today, and so many people out there are selfish. You know, they want to get what they want to get, and they want to go home and close their door, and they don't want to help anyone. You know, and if someone comes to them and asks them for their help, you see, they're quick to say, "I can't help you." And, you know, we've all heard this saying, you know, "I got mine, you get yours." But we are, you know, we're hoarders almost of, you know, what we have. It's like we don't want to share. And sometimes we even scheming and conniving how we can get some of somebody else's too. So, and this is not godly. This is not God. This is not what God put us on earth to do. God put us on earth first to worship and praise him. You know, we are God's handiwork. You know, out of all the out of all creation, you know, we are made in his likeness, in his image. Out of all creation, God breathed breath, life into our bodies. So even the air that we breathe, you know, they call it oxygen that runs through our body that causes, you know, keeps our red blood cells and stuff like that. You know, even that does not belong to us. Even that needs to be properly cared for. Even that comes under the category of stewardship. If we running around here chasing after this and chasing after that, trying to get this and trying to get that, and when we end up, we out of breath and ain't got nothing, that's wasted breath. And that's wasted breath that does not belong to us. It belongs to God. So if we're going to be going here and going there, we need to be going here and going there, trying to help somebody, trying to give somebody something, trying to, you know, evangelize to somebody, give them the word of God, bring them out of darkness into the light. That, and if we're out of breath doing that, well, hallelujah. But we need to stop running around here trying to get all this stuff when this stuff's going to burn up. Well, we going to die and leave it behind or leave it to the next person.
Amen.
We need to stop running around here trying to get all this stuff. We cannot keep what we do not give away. When we trust Christ, we exchange the old for the new. We pass from death into life, from darkness to light, from seeing, or I'm sorry, from sight, believing what we see, to faith, what we cannot see, and from an earthly to a heavenly citizenship. You see, when we leave this earth, we're going up to glory, to God's new kingdom. We're going to be citizens in God's new kingdom. True stewardship reflects this exchange in a lifestyle ordered by the lordship of Christ over all things. So, true stewardship. And see, it says reflects this exchange. So, our daily walk, because see, people are watching. Our sons, our daughters, our wives, our co-workers, strangers, people are watching. And please be mindful, saints, God is watching. So, if we are to be and want to be and profess ourselves to be true stewards, we need to reflect this in our daily lifestyle. It needs to be reflected in our walk. Because in a job I used to have in a correctional institution, we were taught that your body language, your posture will determine how your interaction goes with that person, that inmate. If they see you walking up to them in a mean way, then when you, you know, they're already going to be on guard against you. So, again, if we, our walk is in such a way that reflects the God in us, His Spirit in us, people will see the exchange that happens on a daily basis, constantly throughout the day, between you and your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ by way of the Holy Spirit. People will see the peace that you walk with, the peace in which you conduct yourself with, even though you might be going through hell. But the people will wonder and see the calmness in your demeanor. They will notice how you speak to people. They will notice how you handle situations. If someone's hollering and screaming at you, they will notice your reply. All of these things reflect an exchange in lifestyle ordered by the Lordship of Christ over all things, over your life. We are free to give without expecting anything in return, because all of our needs are met by Christ. And I'm going to say that again, because that's important. We are free to give. You see, we when I spoke about, you know, holding on to everything that we have and not really wanting to share or give to anyone, and even though they might have, and those that don't have, we are free to give, because if we realize that God supplies all our needs, we don't have to worry about giving. We can give as much as we want, because with God, a little is enough. God will not see His children begging bread. God will make sure we have everything we need. And I think if most of us take a moment to think about it, God has made sure we've had everything we need and then some. I know there have been many times in my life to where my back has been up against the wall. No job. Didn't know when my next paycheck was coming. Money was funny. Food was short in the refrigerator. And then the next thing I turn around, money coming from everywhere. Refrigerator full of food. Bills getting paid. But God, we just need to trust Him. We need to believe in Him. We need to keep Him in our hearts. We need to keep Him in our minds. We need to walk with Him daily. And do we do that perfectly? No. But that's why He sent His Holy Spirit. That's why He sent His Son Jesus. Because at the name of Jesus, things gonna change. But see, when we call on the name of Jesus, when we pray, we got to pray in faith. We got to believe that our prayer is heard. We just can't throw something out there in the air and expect it to do what it's supposed to do. But if we pray in faith and walk in faith and live in faith, if we steward our lives in and by faith, God is just to bring us through. Amen? And lastly, stewardship of talent. We have seen that stewardship in the scriptures always relates to the management of something that does not belong to us, but to someone else. Even our talents and special abilities belong to God. We own nothing that was not first given to us. We own nothing that was first not given to us. And saints, that is so true. I don't care what it is, to the most minute thing that we have in our possession. We didn't have it until somebody gave it to us. Without it being given, we have nothing. And everything comes from God. And not receive it? But if you did receive it, why do you boast as if you had not received it? God has entrusted us with aptitudes and abilities, and as God's good stewards, we must use them for his glory and not our own. You see, our abilities, you know, where, you know, all of us have different abilities. You know, think of our secular vocations. You know, all of us have different jobs. All of us have different levels of education. All of us have different abilities and aptitudes. As good stewards, we must use them for God's glory and not our own. You know, we can't walk around here with a big head thinking that we're so smart and that we doing all this by ourselves. You know, once again, earlier when I said God made us in his image. So the brains that we have, God gave them to us. Like I said, we all have different levels of intelligence, but whatever that level is, God gave it to us. We didn't get that on our own. We didn't get the intelligence, you know, from birth to this day on our own. We didn't create that. We didn't manifest that within ourselves. God did. This is not only true of that, but also of musical artists, athletes, academic, business, and persuasive talents, but also of the spiritual gifts we have received. And since we have received gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us each exercise them accordingly. Peter, he specifically relates spiritual gifts to the concept of stewardship, as each one has received a special gift. Employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. See, Peter, he was preaching and teaching that the gifts that we have, you know, he was teaching this concept to everyone that he came across, you know, that all of our gifts that we have, you know, we need to employ it. We need to invest it. We need to give it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God, because God gives us everything that we have, not only out of his love for us, but by his grace and his mercy. We need to understand that today. God gives us all that we have every day, every minute of the day, because he loves us and by his grace and his mercy. Faithful stewardship of natural talents and spiritual gifts requires that we use them to glorify God and edify others. Our purpose is not to please ourselves, but to serve others. Let each of us please his neighbor for good, to his edification, for even Christ did not please himself. Amen? Amen. Do nothing from selfish or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, let each of you regard one another as more important than himself. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. In closing, we should learn to concentrate on the things we do well and not worry about the things we cannot do. Our calling is to be trustworthy with what we have been given and not to envy or covet another person's abilities or ministry, because our abilities from God come from God, and he has equipped us to fulfill the purpose for which he has called us. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Each of us has an arena of influence, whether large or small, and a specific ministry that the Lord has placed in our care. Let a man regard us in this manner as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. You see, saints, regardless of what we have been given, every stewardship is tested by the standard of faithfulness. It is not Amen. The size of our ministry that counts, but what we
right.
do with it, that we
That's
what
right.
we do with what we have been entrusted with.
Been entrusted.
Amen.
What we do with what we have been trusted with.
Amen.
Because God is trusting us to do that which is right in his eyesight. And by doing this, we are improving our lives and redeeming our time here on earth given to us by God. God bless you.
Amen. Amen. We want to thank our guest on today for such an awesome, awesome topic on today. Listeners, I pray that you were filled on today and that your ears was open to receive what the man of God had to say. We do have a caller at this time, and you have just a second caller. That caller is calling from 504-7151. You only have a minute in the studio because it's almost closing time. Caller, you're on the air at this time. Caller from area code 504, last four digits, 7151. You're in the studio.
This is Reverend Woods calling to encourage Reverend Burden. You did a great job. Keep the good work up. May God bless you. All right?
God bless you, Pastor. I want to thank you for calling in on today. There you have it, listeners. And we truly enjoy Reverend Burton on today. As always, we want to thank our listeners for tuning in on Facing Your Fears, hosted by yours truly, Evangelist Norma Chapman. We do have another caller. Just a second. Now, the code 504-8011. Caller, you are now on the air.
What a wonderful, wonderful message. Took a lot of notes, and I am so godly proud of you, my brother. Keep up the good work. And I learned a lot. Not all about I. And we need to use our time wisely, because tomorrow, not even the next second, minute, it's not promised. Keep up the good work, my brother. God bless you. And God bless you, Norma Chapman and Elder Smith. Keep up the good work also, Gloria Johnson.
God bless you. God bless you, Sister Johnson. We want to thank our callers for calling in on today. We do want to again thank our special guest, Reverend Richard Burton, for such an awesome, awesome, awesome topic on today. As of,
Amen.
Hate to call listeners, you know, look like every time we get a good time just flies by. So at this time, we're going to have our closing prayer by our co-host, and we want to invite you to tune in again to Facing Your Fears Radio Talk Show. But before we do that, we want to ask our guest if he want to share information on how our listeners can contact him after the show if you care to have him speak on your show or to have him to come to your church. At this time, Reverend Burton, give us a contact information, an email or something where you want the listeners to contact.
Yes, Evangelist Chapman, thank you for the opportunity. If anyone would like to contact me, I will put my phone number out. It is area code 757-582-4517. Amen.
Amen.
And I want to thank everyone that tuned in. Once again, Evangelist Chapman, I want to thank you for this opportunity. I thank God for placing me on your heart. I thank God for using me to his glory. And I just hope
Amen.
And pray that this opportunity that has been given to me has reached someone that has opened up their heart and their mind, and that they were able to see their time on this earth in a different perspective from God's perspective, and that they seek him. Amen.
Amen. Closing prayer, co-host.
Father, we thank you and we praise you today, Lord. We give you the honor, the glory, and the praise, because truly it is due unto you. All the honor, all the glory, and all the praise be unto you. We thank you for using your servant today to pour into the world, to share, oh God, to blast like a trumpet about stewardship, helping us to realize every day, every moment, every second, that woe, it is Jesus, and it's all about the Lord. God bless each and every one of you. God bless you and God keep you. Amen.
God said, man, amen. And listeners, this is our show for today. Thanks and God bless you. Goodbye now.